Just the beginning of Luke, chapter 1. I'll speak about a little bit about Zechariah's prophecy. I won't be able to put it in its context or speak about the birth of John before that, but think about a little application from Zechariah's prophecy as we think about y'all and the world that we live in. So we'll read together from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to the end of the chapter. So now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives are called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them laid it up in their hearts. "What then will this child be?" they said, for the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show us the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our forefather Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, O child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before us, before the Lord, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So in the beginning of these verses that we read, obviously there's a huge change. Zechariah had been praying for a long time. It's kind of like the prayer of themselves as a couple, that God would grant them a son. You can imagine as he's standing, as his lot comes to offer incense in the temple, and as he's lighting the incense and he looks at this smoldering wick and thinks about his whole family line probably just going to die and smolder out. But then God answers his prayer. He gives him a son. But it doesn't really look quite like he expects it to be. And there's huge change for this family in verses 57 to 66. You know, in my family as well, there's obviously been huge change. I'll not get into too much of the history of the family, but in the McFarlane's tradition, my father was called Hugh, his father was called Hugh, his father was called Hugh, and so on and so on and so on it goes. But they called me Paul because my father realized that God changes us. And he changes ancestral traditions and cultures, and he can make a change in someone's life, like from Saul to Paul, so that we're not just victims of our ancestral history, victims of our fate, victim of our culture, or just a consequence of different circumstances, but that God can interact and intervene in our lives in a miraculous way. So what I think about today is just change for the nation, particularly in Zechariah's prophecy in these last few verses. Now, in Ireland, there's a referendum coming up. A yes vote will definitely change the family, and it will most definitely change the nation. The change will be destructive, of course. And I'm sure for every one of us, our heart's desire is not only to see positive, wholesome changes in our own lives, changes in our family lives, but also changes on a national level as well. You know, we want to see y'all be a better place. I'm sure you want to see Carrick better place. But whenever I think of y'all and I think of some of the things that particularly irritate me a little bit, there are some things that could change from the better. Like it's got a real problem. Sorry if this is annoying, but it's got a real problem with like dog foul on the streets. They could get rid of that. That's one thing for sure. They could put an end to the illegal dumping that's pretty much just outside our house. You know, they could change some of those things, clean it up. Tidy towns could do a little bit better job. And then, of course, I suppose there could be the issue of development. that I thought about when I was showing the slides. You know, people are so much feel that they need a change that they're willing to even put firebombs through people's letterboxes and go to intimidation and violence. But how do we fix these problems? Do we just persuade people to vote in a certain way? Do we need more laws? Do we simply get the government to make things more legal than they already are? Do we bring stricter punishments? Would that make a change? Bigger fines? Street justice? Firebombs? What will bring change? The necessary change for Israel here is the same necessary change that's needed in y'all, that's needed in Ireland, that's needed throughout the world. The necessary change is Jesus. The necessary change is his salvation. If we thought back to Exodus chapter 19, we'll not go there now, but Moses, as he gets the message from God about what Israel's going to be, he says, "You're going to be a holy nation." And the word used is goy. It's normally used for Gentiles. He says, "You're going to be called out different from the rest of the nations." And the reason is because God has saved you, because he has rescued you out of Egypt. That's what makes the difference. Now, we're fooling ourselves if we think about our country, if we think about our towns, wherever we live, and we think it just needs reform, it just needs better laws, it needs a better government, better society, because all the things that we need is Jesus in the individual life of the individual person down at the grass level at the roots of society. That's what makes a change in a nation and a national level. Zechariah means Yahweh God remembered. John means gift. And so old Zechariah could say in verse 68 with the Holy Spirit, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited us and redeemed his people. God has remembered his promise and sent his salvation." So specifically here, God remembered his promise to Zechariah's ancestors, and he sent John, which means a gift to the people of Israel. John was Israel's last prophet before Jesus, and he was sent as a gift to them to point them in the direction of the coming sunrise, as Zechariah kind of describes it. John was Israel's gift to turn the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, as the prophecy said. John was the gift that would bring a broken nation full of broken people and point them to the one and only Savior, the coming Savior, Jesus the Christ. So what does Zechariah say in verse 76 after praising God? He turns and says, "And you, my little son, will be called prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break through to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death and to guide us in the path of peace." So if you ever have to wonder why Elijah had to come again, why John the Baptist came, just remember the two names, Zechariah, God remembered, John, a gift. God remembered his promise, and John was a gift to Israel, God's treasured possession, his covenant people, the holy ones from out of all the Gentiles, to prepare them and point them to Jesus, the coming salvation. Now, Zechariah, I'm sure, never lived long enough to hear his son John preach, but as he looked forward to what would happen after his death, you can tell he was incredibly excited about this message of the coming Savior. Look at verse 69. He had great faith in a national response. And he knew that if the people did respond, if John could persuade them to come around and turn and look at this coming sunrise, the Holy Spirit would work in their lives, then the entire future, the entire fate, the entire destiny of individuals, of people, of nations would be completely changed. We wouldn't be obsessed with local or national politics anymore, as we are in y'all, but completely changed by the Savior who loves broken people from all over a broken, messed up world. So what does y'all need? What does Ireland need? Now, we're not the new Israel, we know that. God has said, though, that all the earth is mine. And what we need is the same thing that Israel needs. People need to hear about Jesus. It's as simple as that. Now, have you ever thought to yourself, or has someone ever told you, you think you're just God's gift to women, or God's gift to men, or God's gift to whatever, God's gift to the world? Well, the truth is that if you believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him, then you are. Just like John, who was a gift to Israel, each and every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ and have his Spirit inside of us are a gift to our families, we're a gift to our communities, to our workplaces, to the town that we find ourselves in, to the countries that we live in, because through us, God reaches out with that message of change and salvation through Jesus Christ in this broken world. We're called to be the prophets, the priests, the preachers in a lost and dying world, because the only thing that will change anything is Jesus. So whenever I step out my front door and have to watch my step in case I stand on a little parcel, or walk down the road on the way to church and see the rubbish at the side of the road, all the rotten vegetables and rotten meat that people have thrown out of the houses, or I see people campaigning to change the family and make Jesus and his truth just completely despised and make us look more intolerant and more bigoted, I hope and I pray that I remember that people need to hear that incredible message that Jesus changes things, that Jesus is the Savior, that he is the one that we need, that our cultures need, our towns need, and that the world needs to hear about. So can I just ask each of you, do you know Jesus? Has he brought change to you personally and to your family? Or do you still need him in your life? Can I encourage you just to think about that and know that Jesus is the only thing that will bring true and meaning change, because we might be able to change some things in our lives, or many things that we can't change. And one thing is for sure, he is the only one that can change our ultimate destiny of where do we go to be when we meet God face to face. So may I encourage you with those things. And thank you for having me here today. Thank you for listening to me talk about y'all and explain a little bit about the work there. And I trust that you'll continue to pray for us as we reach out with that incredible message that Jesus changes people and he is the hope for the world.